And radio announcement. Happy Easter. We would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary at Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. And our next community meal will be this Saturday, April the 15th, from 5 to 7 p.m. here at Trinity United Methodist Church, 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour. We look forward to seeing anyone that would like to come and enjoy a meal and fellowship here at the church. Last week, I neglected to read the birthdays and anniversaries, so I'm going to do that now. Last week's birthdays and anniversaries were April 2nd, Josh Schleter; April 3rd, Pam Weddle; April 4th, Asher Weddle; April 8th, Brittany Barrett. And last week, the flowers were sponsored by Tony Ann and Thomas Harris in honor of Aiden's confirmation. And the radio was sponsored by Bob and Jennifer Dorio in honor of Sophie's 11th birthday and Emma's 13th birthday. This week's birthdays are April the 9th, Taylor Lewis; April the 13th, Jessica Helton; and April the 15th, Keith Penner. And flowers this week are sponsored by Terry and Troy Nicholson in honor of our risen Savior. And the radio is sponsored by Sandy Hall in honor of Andrea's birthday on April 16th. So, sorry, I forgot those last week. We will now have special music, Above All, by Tony Ann Harris.
Thank you.
You. That was beautiful.
That was beautiful.
Now we'll have our scripture reading, John 20, 11 through 18. You'll find it in your pew Bible on page 1074. Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not recognize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking it was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will find him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And today's message was given to me by a friend of mine, literally. My friend Jan McCaig and I, at the beginning of Lent, sat and read through an amazing Bible study called The Crosswalk by James W. Moore. This is one of the lessons, the Holy Week lesson about Mary Magdalene, because after all, she is my favorite Bible character, and Jesus. It's been adapted in its entirety. It was named something along the lines of Mary Magdalene and Jesus during Holy Week. I've titled it Easter Reminds Us, because Easter does indeed remind each and every one of us that no matter what is happening in our lives, no matter what has happened in the past, no matter what we're facing in the future, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And no matter what, we never have to walk that journey alone. Christ will always be with us. Easter reminds us to live deeply, to love much, and to always have faith. Because the very fact that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, conquered death gives us hope, no matter what's happening in our lives. In March 1994, Reverend Kelly Clem stepped up into her pulpit at Goshen United Methodist Church in Piedmont, Alabama. And she spoke to the people that she so loved the week before Palm Sunday. And then on Palm Sunday, the church was filled to capacity. There were 144 worshipers present that day. Now, Kelly's husband Dale was away in Oklahoma on a mission trip, but Kelly's two girls were with her. She had 2-year-old Sarah and 4-year-old Hannah. The word exuberance does not begin to describe little Hannah. The night before, she had picked her daughter up from daycare, and as they were driving back to the parsonage, little Hannah looked up and saw the sunset. In all of its glorious colors, pink and purple were her favorite colors. And she hollered, "Look, Mommy, look, look what God did. Isn't that pretty, Mommy?" And she bounced up and down on the seat. I wish I could bottle some of Hannah's exuberance. As they got closer to the parsonage, little Hannah said something that startled her mother. She said, "Mommy, when we die, will we all die together? Will you and Daddy and Sarah all die together?" Hannah thought, what's brought this on? She knew that they had had tornado drills last week at daycare. But she wondered about this. It kind of hung in the air. And she said, "Well, Hannah, I don't know that we'll all die together, but what I do know is that we will all live together in heaven. We will all be together again in heaven." They pulled up into the parsonage, and Kelly wondered what had brought that to her child's mind. But little Hannah jumped out of the car. She was once again her exuberant self, running around collecting pine cones, collecting pretty flowers, collecting stones. Hannah loved to collect little treasures. And she gave her treasures away to everybody that she knew. She would give them a pretty leaf, a beautiful flower, one of the painted rainbows she had made at daycare. It was one of her ways of expressing her love. The splendors of being a child. Palm Sunday morning, Reverend Kelly Clem stepped into her pulpit. It was going to be a service like none other. Lightning flashed. Thunder roared. It crackled. The storm was coming nearer. People looked. A baby cried out in the back. And next thing she knew, things began to fall from the ceiling and the stained glass crashed in. Purple and red and blue were spewing everywhere, and someone screamed, "Get down! It's a tornado!" And they all dived for the ground. Kelly tried to make her way out of the pulpit to find her babies, and she was hit alongside the head with a brick, and she went down hard on her shoulder, and she lay there praying for her little ones, praying for her church. And then it was over. Kelly was terrified. She jumped to her feet, as many others had done, wondering where her children were. And someone with good sense, back in the nursery, the only part of the building left standing, held up her 2-year-old Sarah for her to see, to know that Sarah was okay. Next thing you know, Kelly is digging through the rubble, trying to unearth the people who were trapped under the beams, the concrete, the bricks, and the glass. And then she saw it. A tiny little blue and white choir robe. And she knew it was her Hannah. And she knew it was too late. Hannah was gone. 19 people died that morning. 86 people were injured, some of them severely. She didn't know how her little church was going to survive. Through that next week, there were funerals. There were people coming together from the rest of the town and the towns over. People brought in food. people came in, ministers volunteered to come in and relieve some of the burden from Kelly and to do some of the funerals. She was shaken. She began to wonder if this little church could survive that. Numb with grief and pain, she wondered if she could survive it. And then, all of a sudden, the phone began to ring, and people were asking, are we going to have an Easter service? She hadn't even thought of Easter service, but she knew these people were hurting. They had lost loved ones. They had been injured. They feared for their little church, and they needed Easter morning. Don't we all? Don't we all need the hope of Easter morning? And Kelly stepped up with all the confidence and courage that God had given her, and she said, yes. Yes, we will have a sunrise service out on the lawn. And that morning, 250 people gathered outside among the wreckage of the precious little church. People from town, people from the next town, people from everywhere gathered to support that little church. Someone had erected a huge wooden cross where the pulpit used to be. Kelly sat there in darkness, thinking, praying. She knew that God had given her a word to give to the people. She had woke up Good Friday morning with the scriptures running through her head over and over and over again. And she knew this beloved was the word that she was to give her people. As she stepped up into the makeshift pulpit, she said, I can't think of any place I would rather be. Can you? And you could tell by the expressions of all the people gathered there that they would not be anywhere else on that Easter morning but in church, worshiping and thanking, no matter what had just taken place in their life. Kelly opened her Bible and she began to read the words that her God had given to her. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? No. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor things present, nor things to come, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:35, 37 through 39. When Kelly finished reading this passage, she looked out into the sea of people and saw them nodding their heads. She saw the tears streaming down their face. And she knew, because she knew, that this little church was going to make it. That their hope had been bolstered by the words that came directly from God. In July, following the tornado, Kelly and Dale and little Sarah went out into the backyard to celebrate little Hannah's birthday. She would have been 5 years old. They stood upon a huge stump of a tree that had been devastated by the tornado. Kelly stood there holding 7 helium balloons, one for each color of the rainbow that little Hannah loved so much. And as she released those balloons one by one, They celebrated something in Hannah's life. They celebrated her exuberance. They celebrated her love of life. They celebrated her love for all people, illustrated by all her treasures she loved to give away. But what they celebrated the most was the faith of this little girl who had told her mommy, "After you die, you're buried. And then you go to live with God." And she skipped off. Such simple but profound faith out of the mouth of a babe. When you die, you get buried. But you don't stay there. You get to go and live with God. Kelly celebrated. Let's take a deeper look at living deeply, loving much, and having faith. The late Pistol, Pete Maravich. Excuse me, I hope I didn't butcher that too much, basketball fans. I have been told that his basketball records still stand and that many people honor him. But you know, Pete's life was unsettled. It was empty until he came to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He wrote a book, Heir to a Dream. Pete reflected upon the powerful transformation that had taken place in his life when he and his father came to know Jesus. He nursed his father as his father died, never giving up on him. And he prayed every day, many times a day, for a miracle. And then one day, it occurred to him, the miracle had already happened. Their relationship had come closer. They had always been close. You see, Pete's father wasn't just his father. He was his coach. He was his mentor. He was his buddy. But when they came to the Lord Jesus Christ, they had a great faith to share, which drew them closer and closer together. He writes, "As I watched my dad get more sickly each day, I prayed for the miracle. But then I realized that the real miracle had already happened. Amazing growth in our relationship. A transformation because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We learned to live more deeply." On another occasion, Pete shared this message with a group of 17,000 young people in North Carolina. "In the past, if someone had offered me $1 million, I would have chosen it and I would have celebrated because of all the things I could have and all the things I could buy. But you know, I thought upon my father's death, that God has been trying to give me and others eternal life, totally free. But most people would reject that offer, and they would still be searching for the $1 million. Pete told the crowd that finding God and coming to Christ had changed him. It had changed his outlook. It had changed his priorities. The feeling of total emptiness is no longer there. Money can buy you everything but happiness. It can pay for your fare anywhere in the world, but it can't pay for your fare to heaven. Only a true relationship with Jesus Christ can do that. If you seek money, if you seek the pleasures of this world, you will never be happy. But if you seek the wisdom, the joy, the obedience found in Christ Jesus, happiness will indeed follow you throughout the rest of your life. That's what Easter teaches us, that life in Christ is the most valuable and most important thing in the world. Easter also reminds us to love much. There's a story about a little boy named Richard, only 7 years old. He was the last of 9 children. And on the night before Easter, his mother was trying to get all the kids' clothing organized for the next morning. She was trying to get all the kids to bed, and she was just a little overwhelmed. So she called Richard and asked a favor of him. She said, "Will you shine my Sunday shoes?" Oh, he was so proud. He was going to get to do something for his mama. And he shined up those Sunday shoes, and he brought them to mama. And mama said, "Good job, son. Thank you." And she reached in her pocket, and she gave him a quarter. Now, a quarter was a lot of money back then, folks. He looked at it kind of puzzled, shrugged his shoulders, took mama's shoes, and brought them back into the bedroom. The next morning, after mom had finally got all 9 of the kids ready. How many are mothers here? I remember having 4 kids. By the time I got the last one dressed, the first one was taking off something, a coat, shoes, something. Can't imagine getting 9 kids ready. She finally got herself ready. She shoved her foot into the shoes, and she hit a lump in it. She took it off, shook it out. There was a wad of paper in that left toe. She opened it up. There was the quarter. And in the scrawl of a 7-year-old boy was written, "I did it for love, Mama. I did it for love." Now, maybe little Richard's grammar needed some work, but his heart didn't. His heart was in the right place. He understood that he had done something wonderful for his mom. Easter reminds us to live deep and love much. It also reminds us to have faith. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb that first Easter morning, defeated, in deep pain, grief, and despair. She came shaken and hopeless, but she left running, screaming, "He is alive! He is alive, just as he said he was." What a glorious thing that would have been to see her being so happy, running from the grave, knowing that her Lord and Master was alive. James Moore, the author of this Bible study, writes, "One of the warmest memories of my childhood was something that happened when I was just 5 years old. I spent the day with my grandmother, and then a storm happened. There was lightning and thunder, and the rain beat down. And she looked at me and said, 'Oh, Jim, how are we going to get you home?' And the answer to that question came with the door flying open, and there stood my daddy. He seemed huge at the moment, and he was wearing his all-weather coat, that blue one. And he said, 'Jimmy, come with me.' He opened his coat, and I clung to the inside of his coat. We didn't have far to go, but the storm was terrifying. I clung to Daddy with no fear whatsoever. I didn't care that I couldn't see. I didn't care that I didn't know what was going on, because I knew that my Daddy would protect me. And soon we arrived at home. He opened his coat and said, 'Come on out, son.' And I did. Death is kind of like that, I think. Grief is kind of like that too, because God covers us with his love and his protection in the midst of grief. Just like that great big coat, he covers us with his protective love. He holds our hand and guides us through each and every storm in life. Sometimes there is no way around it. There is pain. There is storms. There are natural disasters. There are things that break our hearts. There are Good Fridays. But Easter morning is always coming.